Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a series of short discussions on various topics related to the Microsoft Cloud Platform. Your hosts, Kendall Roden, Cynthia Krang, Kale Teeter, Evan Vasilik, Russell Young, and Sajid DeMello discuss a specific topic on each show to give you a high-level overview of that topic and resources to get more information should you wish to dig further. For more information on our show, please visit our website at azpodcast.com.
So welcome to the Azure Podcast. This is episode number 300. This was a big milestone. This is Evan Vasilik. We've got Cynthia, Kendall, and Kale here today. And we also have a very special guest, Albert Greenberg. We'll get to Albert in just a minute. But before the show, we were kind of chatting through some of the milestones that we've hit. It's just kind of amazing. This is the 300th episode, and I looked it up. The very first episode was Kale and Sajid, October 15th of 2013, so almost 6 years ago now. And Kale, you were talking about what you and Sajid used to do to prep for this. We were just amateurs.
No, it was like fully transcripted. It would be like, okay, you say this, and then I'll say this. We should be at 2 minutes in then, and then we could do this. And it's like, now we're just like, wing it. We just get to talk, you know?
Yeah.
Did they usually go by plan on like how much time you allot for each topic?
We did. We did.
Wow.
Episode 26, I had reached out to Kale and Sajid and said, hey, there's this Azure IaaS thing, and I can come talk about what customers do wrong. And I kind of stuck around. I glommed onto them after that. We were trying to figure it out for sure, but it looks like right around episode 217, Cynthia, you and Kendall came.
That's when it got good. So, 217. If you haven't listened to all the episodes, just start there.
We were looking back at some other things this is how old the podcast is. It used to be called Windows Azure. We had a whole session about the name change, right? This is, I had forgotten that it used to be called that. I have to go back and see what the day was, but when we hit 1,000 subscribers, you went out and bought a bottle of champagne, customized champagne for me, you, and Sajid at the time. And I think the deal you just made right before the show is if we hit 10,000 subscribers, you're going to go get another one for all of us.
Yeah. We'll do it again. It was pretty cool.
So Kendall and I really want that bottle. We'll need everyone's help.
And if Albert's the one that pushes us over as a guest, we'll have to hook him up too, Kale. So
not a problem.
Okay. It's just a lot of fun, right? We've had over 500,000 downloads. I regularly just talking to customers like, oh, wait a minute, I know your voice. Oh, hey, you're that podcast guy. And it's just, it always kind of shocks me that people actually listen. But it's been a lot of fun. I don't know about you guys, but this is one of the highlights of my week, every week when we do it.
Yeah, I think the other thing I'd add is, the reason we started this was because, even back then, early on, the service catalog for Azure was growing so rapidly.
It's like three things.
But we couldn't keep track of stuff. Like it was like, okay, mm-hmm. Well, we think we're going to run out of episodes, by the way, because we're going to cover everything and then we're good. And then, the rest is history of Azure exploding into, I don't know, how many services do we know? Hundreds, right, that exist in Azure. But
yeah, we'll blame our guest because I'm sure Albert had a significant.
And I just want to take a second too to just thank Kale and Sajid for starting off this podcast because they did it for people like us, people who are looking to learn about Azure, people who wanted to be educated on this kind of new cloud world. And so kudos to y'all and just thank you to the whole team, Evan included, for believing in Cynthia and I and letting us be a part of this story because I know we've grown a lot and I just feel really excited about the future of Azure and the future of where the podcast is going to continue to go. So
yeah, kudos all around, everybody. It's been a lot of fun. Great. Yeah. So given that, let me introduce Albert. Albert, do me a favor. Could you introduce yourself and kind of share what you do for Microsoft?
Hey, I'm Albert Greenberg. I am the corporate vice president for Azure Networking, and I run the engineering team for Azure Networking.
Great. Yeah. Thanks for coming, Albert. I think I was trying to figure out, and this actually kind of leads into some of the questions we had for you. I've been doing Azure since 2008. When did you join Azure? Because you've been around as long as I can remember.
Yeah. So I joined Microsoft in 2007. I joined in Microsoft Research, MSR. Then I spent 3 years there and joined in 2010. When I joined, there was no Azure networking. It was a little pocket of compute. And Yusuf, my program management counterpart, was already there, and he was in compute. But there was maybe 5 to 10 networking people in Azure at the time, and I think we had 5 to 10 clusters.
You could put hands on all the clusters at once back then. Well, and now your organization's considerably larger than 5 people at this point. Azure networking is one of the biggest orgs within Azure. There's thousands of people these days, I think. What attracted you to come here? I mean, for 5 clusters, what was the appeal?
To me, it was the cloud. I mean, it was the biggest change in everything computing that I had ever seen. And I was at another company and was visiting their data centers. And they were stocked full of Microsoft stuff, stocked full of Microsoft software. And this cloud thing was just so amazing. And then for networking, it opened up so much that had been closed and proprietary before. And it gradually opened up more and more so that pretty much all of computer engineering and computer science could now be applied to networking, as opposed to there was a day when certain large companies like Cisco and Juniper and companies like that ruled, and people consumed their stuff and deployed it. Now suddenly, boom, it's all open, and we can produce our own hardware, software, innovation. So there was this just great opportunity. I mean, somewhat in hindsight, now it all worked out, but it did seem like it was a major mind shift, and it made no sense it made no sense to me to work on anything but cloud, and that's why I came here.
I made the same, that was kind of my perception the first time I saw SQL Azure, and I luckily the industry has gone in that direction, so it has panned out well. But I totally agree. So looking at that kind of history, right, clearly that expansion was, amazing and whatnot, but when you look at what you can do with, Azure and more specifically networking, these days, what's the thing that even then you didn't even really envision was possible, or just surprises you the most about what we've been able to kind of provide and accomplish?
Well, I guess the sheer scope of it is incredible. I mean, when we show the picture of what the team does, if we need a cable that goes under the ocean, we hire a boat and pull the cable under the ocean 5 miles down. We do what?
How do you troubleshoot that when that doesn't work?
We troubleshoot that. So we engineer that, troubleshoot that, repair it if it needs repair. And so we are able to, we have the engineering muscle to take on that kind of challenge, and all the way up, that's at the bottom. We're forming the zeros and ones that go across the ocean, but, producing the coherent, network that customers need to reach us and get good services involves a huge amount of cloud software and some fraction of networking domain expertise.
So as networking, I'm kind of curious, as networking needs just continue to grow and evolve, how do we make sure that we're actually able to sustain that level of growth? How do you continue to keep up with the size? And as we add more data centers and as we add, new customer demands for isolation, how do you continue to iterate and evolve and grow that at the scale that you are?
So, we're constantly refreshing everything. It's like if you're watching a race car and you have to take a pit stop and change the wheels and the engine and whatever it takes to keep that car running, and actually will change the whole car. And the thing is that we need to do that without the customers noticing. So given that we're, essentially doubling every year, it's just become a habit that we don't need to write big tons of code and become proud of the code. We're proud of the service. And the code is just part of, producing the service, and we keep refreshing it and changing it. I think the challenges is so much innovation in Azure. There's so many. We built the cloud built a cloud network on the cloud. So we use all that. We use Service Fabric. We use the compute platform, the storage platform. And that also is innovating all the time and growing. So we're working with the other engineering teams to keep refreshed and keep expanding. I do want to talk about support. I'm sure we're going to get there.
No, because nothing ever breaks in the cloud. No, never, never.
I'm curious too, Albert, about the evolution, like from the start, right? So it seemed to us on the outside, and before even I joined Microsoft, that the networking originally was more of like automation over like existing hardware, and then this thing like software-defined networking came out, and it seems like an explosion happened there a little bit.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, there's a term you hear called disaggregation, which finally happened in networking. So, you know, if you think about the way you have players like Intel producing chips and then companies like Dell producing a box and companies like Microsoft producing software, that's the right way to go. But that way had not been the case in networking. Now it is. So now you have exactly those kind of players. You have companies like Broadcom producing chips. You have companies like, again, Dell or someone producing the box. And then you have us producing the software. So it's like networking is catching up to the really right way to build systems. Whereas in the past, it had been, you know, before software-defined networks, it had been closed. And you'd become Cisco certified and all this stuff. And you would learn how to deploy those boxes. Now, the people that really understand boxes and all their behavior are still, you know, super valuable and part of the world. But now everything is open, and it's part of our our engineering team is full of engineers of all different kinds of software engineers, hardware engineers, data scientists, network engineers. It's because everything opened up. So if you need a programming language, now you can put it on a box. If you need a database, okay, we got Redis, we can put it on the box. So it's that had never happened before, and it would not have happened without the cloud.
Yeah, I'm probably showing my age here a little bit, but even before the cloud, when we used to have colo facilities and build data centers, it was like, you know, I hear folks today now coming to Microsoft, maybe from college, like new guys coming in saying, man, there's a lot of stuff to configure here to get these load balancers going. And I'm like, you have no idea, man. Like, yeah. You have no idea what it used to be like. Like,
yeah. That was the biggest pain, I think, when I joined networking was trying to squeeze workload on those hardware load balancers. And now, of course, we have software load balancers, and they're going through a big refresh right now.
It's interesting, you know, you talk about that, Kale. I remember when I started, one of the early networking things I supported was Azure VPN. I remember there were literally no levers or no knobs. You push a button and we deploy it, and there was no configuration, right? Like customers call and say, hey, I think Azure, you know, VPN's misconfigured. Probably not. It's just there's no, and now there's, you know, all these different things you can set on it. You know, there's infinite numbers of configuration, right? You know, Albert's team has done a great job, you know, kind of growing that and giving that capabilities. But you're absolutely right. Like it went from this non-configurable thing to this just explosion of capabilities.
So Albert, I have a question in terms of like forward looking and planning. What should we be looking out for now that there's so many different components within Azure networking, and there's probably going to be more that's coming out? Like, how do we, as customers or as people in the cloud space, keep up with all the changes?
Okay, there's a couple of answers there. One is there's Feature Fridays, which we love, and where we say, hey, you know, here's a and I think we're finding the whole organization likes Feature Fridays. It gives you snackable kind of updates on what's coming out. Since you asked, the thing we went public GA with yesterday is Private Link. And Private Link is big. It is a sea change. So Private Link, we expect to see customers loving it and jumping in on it. We think we have something differentiating in Private Link. So that'll be blog, there'll be Feature Fridays, there'll be lots of outreach. the biggest customers are coming. We're bracing ourselves for the onrush for private link. So it's, you know, you've heard of VNet and things like this. It's like that big. It's as big as VNet. So it's gonna be on your radar, and we're gonna be there, you know, with you and working on that.
I think this might be the first time that for a networking topic, I just got scooped on my own podcast. Thanks, Albert. Normally, I take all the networking announcements. The rest of the team knows I love networking, and you just stole my big stuff. Great, yeah. Thanks. Well, I guess in all fairness, you know, I got to give this one to you. It seems fair. So, you know, you mentioned earlier, you know, talking about support, right? Yeah. You know, and that's where you and I first run into it. This is great. This might be the most positive interaction you and I have ever had, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's who I am. It's never a happy experience when you and I are in the same room. Not that we dislike each other. It's just not somebody's unhappy somewhere. Like supporting the cloud is a whole different set of challenges, both for us on the customer experience and the support teams, but also your engineers as well, right? They're much, much closer to customers and to those of us that are out supporting people.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm really looking forward to talking about like the human interaction and the work we've done with support. I think this last year, the ride-alongs have been amazing. To me, it's like a life-changing, DNA-changing experience to do ride-alongs. And you don't understand what you're talking about until you do a ride along with support. So all the PMs and all the dev leaders are doing ride alongs across Azure. And we've been doing it across the world. I think we have a bunch of folks this week in Budapest, and we've been, you know, Fargo, India, North Carolina, all over the place. And so I think the essentially that has allowed us to really appreciate the problems of support and just excite us to work on support. I mean, so like I say, you know, networking people, it's like throughput, loss, delay, stuff like that. Support, it's more interesting than throughput, loss, delay. And I find our strong engineers really like getting psyched and super, you know, pumped up to work on support topics and supportability as a key, you know, feature of everything they do. So really this last year or so has been maybe last 2 years transforming in the way we think about support. And it is true that I find people like, hey, I want to work on support. You know, like I've had enough VPN for now. I want to work on support.
Just for those for the public and Cynthia Kendall and Kale, you guys may not even be aware of this, but what Albert's talking about is there's like these PMs and devs descend in mass on the different support sites, and they literally sit over our shoulders, right, and watch and listen to customer calls as we're trying to solve these issues, and they hear, you know, the pain that customers go through as they're running into problems, or the pain that support engineers do. And what's cool is like they go back and they immediately deliver stuff, right, to make life easier. But I always consider it a successful week when the dev or the PM's walking out going, oh, my head hurts. This is so much more difficult than I thought it was. I mean, my product just doesn't work all the time, and it just is easy. Like it's great. I mean, it's a great cycle for our customers. It results in better products and better experiences. But it's I agree with Albert. It's actually one of the more fun things that I get to do whenever they come on site.
Yeah, I've seen so much innovation from CSS. So, you know, and we're big consumers of it. So for example, the Teams stuff called, now it's called AVA or AVA. Anyway, it's amazing. And it's completely changed how we deal with support calls where, you know, we're on. We have engineers who are with the technical advisors and interacting. And so that whole innovation came from the support team. Same with the topology viewer, which that we then took into Network Watcher and offered to customers as well. So that I think by working together, it's been amazingly fun and energizing and inspiring for our team. And lots is coming out of it. In a good way. I think there's more work to do as far as the eye can see. So Evan and I might be on a few more calls, but we've made a lot of progress, and our numbers are much better. CSAT is high, and we're getting there.
That's great. No, it's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun. Kendall, Cynthia, Kale, I mean, any other questions for Albert? I mean, this has been great. It's kind of really cool to see this side of him. I never see this side. It's awesome.
I think it is awesome. I do actually have a question, and it might be a little bit of out of scope, so just let me know if it is. But I'm kind of curious, just from my perspective as someone that focuses mostly on things like Azure PaaS services, and you know, you think about things like network policies and making sure that you're configuring those services to take advantage of all of the secure features that Azure provides. So how does some of the work that you do kind of propagate to those teams? Is there a lot of collaboration there, or do you kind of focus on the underpinning networking, and then those teams just kind of consume the things that y'all provide?
No, there's a lot of collaboration, and the maybe half of my week appears to be in syncs with the other teams, like the data team or the compute team or the storage team on key objectives. So, you know, our current method, and I don't know if you guys are doing it too, but with to plan our work is this objectives and key results. And so I'll sign up with key objectives with my peers, and then we'll like talk about the key results, and they'll be like, I will do this, achieving this KPI or this metric will be good by this time as measured by something else. And so it's pretty precise. It's awesome. So it doesn't make sense for one pillar to do that, another pillar to not. So for example, for Private Link, since we talked about Private Link, a huge amount of work went into that, especially in the data space, and also in compute, in the portal space, and in storage. So because it was like a VNet thing, everything has to adapt to it. So, and then for UltraDisk, for example, a feature in storage, we had to work on the protocols. The fun thing about networking and sort of the responsibility of networking is you're always in the critical path. So anything that lights up probably has a networking dependency. Yeah. So so the new PaaS offers, the serverless, the functions, all that stuff has a software-defined networking component. We're working on that with the compute team. And
So that's all I had.
Okay.
Great. Well, if there's no other questions, Albert, again, thank you very much for coming on. This is for us a super big episode in terms of kind of 300 is. I'm just floored still that we managed to get to 300. I thought they'd kick us off the air by now. But thanks for coming on, and this is great. Appreciate it.
Hey, congratulations on that number. And it's actually. I want to just put in kudos for Evan. Evan saved my can I say this?
Yes.
Saved my ass so many times. He's an amazing troubleshooter and fantastic with customers. So it's great to have another way to chat with Evan.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's been a great partnership. Thanks, y'all.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Good to meet you.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any comments or questions, please use our Twitter handle at Azure Podcast. Background music has been taken from ccmixter.org under the Creative Commons license. Thank you, and see you next time.